Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Clock Blockers Live right here on Dolphins Talk. This is a Clock Blockers exclusive, as I do each and every Tuesday with my good friend from WQAM, Zach Krantz is in the building. What is going on, Zach? How are you?
I've got 9 monitors on right now in my office. One's on the Free Agent Frenzy on NFL Network. Totally. One's on ESPN. So if you see me looking left or right at any point during this conversation, it's because I'm looking to see if something popped up on my screen at this point. Because honestly, even though we're not in the quote unquote period where they can actually sign yet, I think we're still about 24 hours away from that. We're in that legal tampering period, and everything is happening so fast, so quickly. I mean, I woke up today thinking that today was going to be a little bit slower of a day than yesterday. And it started off already quickly with a lot of other teams, obviously, than the Dolphins. Although the Dolphins just got into the mix in the last hour or so. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But, man, let me tell you, this free agent period and everything going on with the NFL, holy moly, they blow every other sport away when it comes to free agency, the draft, the offseason stuff. The only sport that comes close in the free agency period, especially in the beginning, is the NBA, because in the first like 2 or 3 days, everyone signed in the NBA.
Everybody signed.
That's a free agent, right? Like they're done within like a day and a half. But the NFL, like, I didn't expect some of the stuff to happen today that's already happened today, and I'm very excited about it. But that's why the NFL is king, and that's why we do what we do, because everybody talks about the NFL 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and now all year long.
You know why the first 2 days, or I guess yesterday and obviously going into today, has been so quick moving? Because last year, if you remember, for example, let's look at the running backs last year. All the running backs last year got screwed over because they waited to the last minute. And if you go look at yesterday, what, 5 running backs came off the board at $8 million? I think 3 running backs yesterday signed 3 years, $24 million deals, right? Yeah. And that's, so that's $8 million.
They set the market, right? They set the market for that tier two guy. The tier one guy was still Saquon Barkley for some reason, because there's potential, a lot of potential in him. But let me tell you something. I wouldn't have minded one of these tier two guys if you needed a running back, including today with Joe Mixon, what happened with him with the trade. But I just wouldn't have minded at all. Saquon.
Boy, Houston.
Yeah. Moves, man. Let me tell you something. You want to talk about a team that 2 years ago was the worst team in the NFL by far, not even close, talent-wise, everything. They had Laremy Tunsil and basically nothing else at that point. And what they've done in a draft and 2 free agencies so far to put their team back where they were, it's incredible. It really is incredible. Obviously, you get a quarterback like C.J. Stroud, things are going to change for you. But they changed that defensive round, brand-new head coach, doing big free agency moves. Like, man, Houston is doing it right. I think for a couple of years, we thought Houston was the bottom feeding depth of the bottom of the NFL. They have proven everybody wrong at this point, but it also shows when you get your quarterback, when you get your guy, mm-hmm. and you fit some pieces around him and you draft very well and you spend your money very wisely in free agency, look what could happen to a franchise in a 2-year span from the first pick overall, basically, to a team that now is going to be in the top 4 or 5 in the AFC, probably for the next decade if C.J. Stroud stays there.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to kind of see how teams presented or set themselves up for their future. Let's talk about the Monday that is being considered Black Monday in Miami Dolphins history. I think some things we thought were going to happen, some things we hoped weren't going to happen that ended up coming to fruition. And it seems like this entire roster is going to have a new look to it come 2024. Where do we begin? I guess we'll begin with the biggest nugget, and that is Christian Wilkins signing his big lucrative contract with the Las Vegas Raiders that ends up being, not with guaranteed money, but in total, $110 million. Which comes out to, I think it was $27.5 million per year. I mean, that's crazy numbers for somebody who...
It set the market, right? Listen, I would steal your thunder before you can get to it. You know, he basically gambled on himself. Here's the story we all know. He gambled on himself that they couldn't come to terms, Chris Greer and the Dolphins camp and Wilkins and Wilkins camp. So he bet on himself. And not only did he bet on himself, but it's a perfect city to talk about gambling with in Las Vegas. he hit, you know, double zero with every chip on double zero. He, you know, hit blackjack on the last hand. He did everything he was supposed to do. And he got paid for it. And he set the market now. I mean, obviously there's two or three guys, you know, being paid a little bit more than he is at this point. But we're talking about Chris Jones and Aaron Donald. We're not talking about just two random guys around the NFL. We're talking about the two best at their position. And now Wilkins probably the third best when it comes to, you know, everything and obviously money at this point. Listen, I feel great for him, Christian Wilkins. Great job by him and his camp. And it just it eats me up inside that Christian Wilkins is not going to be a Miami Dolphin next year. I thought that maybe the 1% of the 1% chance that you might have, it might work. But when I see the money and saw what he was getting, Dolphins had no shot. If that was what the market was going to pay for, we should have all known 2 or 3 weeks ago there is 0% chance Christian Wilkins is coming back.
So the number that kept on I was told through people in the know was 21 million was kind of right. The offer last year, right? No more than that. And the Dolphins just said, you're not, you know, in not so many words, hey, look, we can't pay more than that to us. That's what you're, you know, that's the max of what you're worth. And if you go look at what the market was, 21 million was probably a lot for him at that time,
yeah,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
The fact that he got 27 million, people yesterday, the fan base were like, oh my God, how can you let somebody like that walk? Now, not so much maybe with Wilkins. I think that a lot of the fans knew that was coming. It's more with Van Ginkle, but we'll get to him in a minute. Are you mad at Greer that he didn't overpay for Wilkins at $27.5 million a year? Are you okay that he let him walk?
I'm not mad at when I see the numbers today or yesterday. When I see those numbers and I see what it would have costed to get him, no, I'm not. I'm mad that it came to this. I'm mad that it got to this point where you couldn't figure something out with him in year three of a five-year deal when you knew that this guy was going to be around, you're going to keep him around. This guy hasn't, you know, this is not the Austin Jackson situation where you had to wait 3 or 4 years for him to be good. And then finally, when he was good, you paid him. Christian Wilkins in year one into year two, you could tell was going to be a good player. Aaron Donald type? No. And that's, you can't put him in that category. Chris Jones? No. There are two guys at the top. Those are the two. And then there's another tier of guys. If your guy is in that tier with the Quinn and with the Williams of the world and the Dexter Lawrence of the world, and that's where Christian Wilkins is, then you have to understand he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid a lot of money. If you lowball a guy at that point or can't get to the same page with guaranteed money, you're crazy at that point. This is a guy that you drafted. This is a guy that was homegrown. You're supposed to draft guys and pay guys. And what we, you know, the conversation that we've had and I've had with Mike on the roundtable and everybody is, the problem was for years you didn't grow the players and have them become great players. They just kind of were okay and you let them leave or you re-signed them at that point because they were there with you and you drafted them. This was a guy that literally, if you look in the books of what to do as a general manager and franchise when you draft a guy, draft a first-round pick, coach that first-round pick, make that first-round pick better, and then at the end basically say, fantastic, we drafted you in the first round. You become a Pro Bowler. You become one of the heart and souls of this team. Here is your money. You do it before it's too late, because if you do it when you get to the negotiating table, someone is going to pay more. There are plenty of teams around the league that had a ton of money that they were going to spend no matter what. And when the Raiders looked at, Raiders weren't even on the radar for me.
Raiders came through a small. Not with Christian Wilkins.
No,
not at all.
No.
I thought he was going to end up in Houston, honestly. Houston or Chicago
were the two teams for me. And Houston, to a point, man, you put him in that, you know, defensive front too. Holy moly. Houston gets that much better also.
But he took the money with Vegas. I got to think that Houston offered him something and it still wasn't $27.5 million.
I can imagine. At that point, when you are where Christian Wilkins was in the last 36 hours and your agent is coming to you and saying, here's the deal. First, let's get this out of the way. You're not going back to Miami, right? It's just not going to happen unless you want to take a major pay cut. It's going to be about a $5 million difference a year minimum per year. You know, depending on what, we don't know what Chris Greer offered. We don't know if there was an offer on the table at this point when it's free. But I'm guessing along the lines of $22 million a year. And that's highballing it for them and the Dolphins with a ton of money guaranteed. Obviously, the guaranteed money is the most important money. Maybe the guarantee was there. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But when the agent comes to you or is on the phone or on a speakerphone or doing a call like we're doing right now and says, here are your three or four options. We have a couple different places you can play. And then I'm going to tell you what the money's like. Houston, Vegas, Chicago, Washington, maybe. Who knows what teams had a ton of money that were willing to spend it on Christian Wilkins. But this is what it's going to be. You want the most amount of money? We're going to go to Vegas. You want the best chance to win immediately?
Houston.
You can go to Houston. Yeah, you can go to Houston.
And if you want to still have an opportunity to win and kind of stay where you're at and not move and not leave salt and pepper, you stay in Miami and you take –
right,
you know, eight or not, almost $10 million right. per year less.
And let me tell you something. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Bears offer to Wilkins, if there was one, was at least the Vegas offer, if not more, because they needed a guy in there also. So I can imagine. So the options were win now, take the most amount of money and be on a mediocre team, take at least that much money or more and be on a bad team, the Bears, at least for a year until they figure everything out. Maybe a year from now, they're going to be really good. Who knows? With the money they can spend and the draft picks they're going to have, go back and take less money with the Dolphins. Like, what do you want to do? And I can imagine that his agent talked him into.
Wilkins will be traded in 2 years.
Christian, it's possible or cut. Like, I don't know what's in the contract when it comes to the guarantees and how much money he gets up front. He could get that whole whatever it is, $90 million or $80 million, you know, bonus and signing bonus and all the guarantee. He can get majority of that in the first 2 years, and then all of a sudden going into year three. His dead cap weight could be $8 or $9 million, and Vegas will eat that and cut the guy.
And I say two, it could be three, but in 2 to 3 years, my prediction is he'll be
traded. If they're not winning, they're not keeping him at $27 million a year. If they turn the offense around and they can make this team a good team again,
and Vegas, Max Crosby could be a staple to that defense. All right, let's go over to the other another domino that fell yesterday, as far as money was concerned. Somebody who I hope the Dolphins were going to re-sign, but not at the price that he got, and that was Robert Hunt. Got $20 million per year to become part of the Carolina Panthers. He went to another bad football team, but the man got paid. He got bank. He got a contract that he'll never probably get in his career again, in my opinion.
Oh, no, that's it, right.
I mean,
my salary cap guy.
Robert Hunt.
Right, my salary cap guy, and you guys probably know him well, Jason Sarney, he told me, and he's been spitting numbers at me for months now about guys and what it's going to be in free agency, and basically said Robert Hunt's going to get somewhere in between $10 and $14 million, depending on if it's a really bad team or if it's going to be a
good team. Thought.
Right. $20 million a year.
$20 million, Zach.
Can't hate on him. Great guy.
When I saw this,
right.
When I saw the number, my jaw dropped.
I couldn't believe it.
Miami's competing with that.
But guess what? If you watch the last 36 hours kind of develop and you see what the guard market has turned into, $20 million a year is basically setting the standard now for a top flight guard in the NFL. I never thought I would see it. I just talked with Mark Ross of NFL Network on Krantz's Corner. That'll post later today. And basically, when I asked him about the guard situation in the last 48 hours, 72 hours, and the money that Robert Hunt got. He goes, I remember working for franchises where we had to worry about the left and right tackle, basically get a mediocre center because we needed someone in there to know what's going on, and just fill the other gaps with two big guys. Find the big guys that can block a guard, and if they're a little bit mobile, even better, and do that. Nowadays, teams either have a top flight tackle, a top flight center, or a top flight guard. And if you have all the three, you probably have a mediocre skill position set on your offense because you're paying so much money for that. It is truly amazing what has happened over the last couple of years, I'll say 5 or 6 years, with some of the positions that in the Jimmy Johnson era, he was finding guys off the street. He was finding guys in the seventh round to play those spots, not paying them any money. And then when they got to get paid, he let them go like Belichick used to do. Go get paid and come back when you want to come back. You want Robert Hunt on your team right now or a guy like that? That's what you're going to have to pay to get that. I never expected that. And the minute I saw any kind of inclination that it was going to be above the $12 million mark, I just kissed Robert Hunt goodbye and said, go get your money, boy.
Have a nice day. Peace.
Right. Out. Like, no one's mad at you at all. You played awesome for us for a couple of years. Homegrown talent. Another Chris Greer flub, because he probably could have locked up Robert Hunt a year or so ago, whatever the case may be. Remember, this is not a guy that had a fifth-year option. Robert Hunt was not a first-round pick. You could have locked him up a little earlier because you knew he was going to be good. I could have, I mean, listen, he had an injury and that's fine, but otherwise, the most consistent offensive lineman the last 3 or 4 years on this team was Bobby Hunt. So you got to sign that guy up. You got to sign him up for the long run. They missed out on that also. Wilkins, I knew was going to happen. Robert Hunt, to me, was a little bit more a punch in the gut because I thought that there was a pretty good chance you could bring him back.
Brandon Jones yesterday, safety. Somebody who I thought, because Jalen Ramsey earlier in the week had tweeted 29 times nine, or Javon Holland, excuse me.
Javon Holland, right.
Eight. 29 times eight. And I was like, okay, that means Brandon Jones is probably coming back. I'm trying to read in between the lines of all these tweets here. That sounds accurate. And then he signs a 3-year, $22.5 million for about $7.5 million per year.
Way out of where the Dolphins wanted to pay him. Way out of the Dolphins were, I would assume at this point, the Dolphins were offering him between $3 and $4 million a year.
Five max.
Right. Five, right. Like, max. Yeah, like a max. And that's with, and it's five with an out after about a year or two, just in case. That's another guy
who he got I would paid, have, man.
You can't get all mad these, at these guys.
You guys, all paid. These guys got paid by bad football teams, by the
right,
way.
Right. Of course. Well, because that's Dayton, who has North
Carolina.
Who has all the cap room? Look at the Dolphins 3 or 4 years ago. Dolphins went out and could have signed anyone they wanted and given any kind of money out there. Why? They were not a good football team. They were rebuilding, retooling, whatever you want to say. They had the most money. They could overpay for people. That's what's happening nowadays. Instead, you have to let those guys go. Brandon Jones, I wasn't upset with. I was upset he's not here in a Dolphin, but I wasn't going to give him more than $3 or $4 million a year. So if someone offered him five, he could have ran. That's fine. I get it. But you see what this team is going to look like next year. Just from these three we've talked about right now, there'll be a lot of new faces offensively and defensively, especially.
We're going to get into the new faces here in a minute, but the last person we got to talk about is Van Ginkle, because right. I think that's somebody that the Dolphins fan base was very surprised, A, how quickly he got out, like the day one, really.
Right.
Apparently, it's coming out and being reported that the Dolphins never offered him an official contract now. Which is surprising to hear. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just right. You know, some of the rumors that are coming out. I mean, the man got paid by Minnesota and reunites with the guy who drafted him and Brian Flores, who's the defensive coordinator there. What about Andrew Van Ginkle and losing him, and how big is that?
That hit me like a bag of bricks.
Yeah, me too.
If the Robert Hunt one hurt me, the Van Ginkle took me for the third round knockout. Like that yesterday, it was because especially when I saw the money.
$10 million a year.
I mean, we're not talking about somebody overpaid for this guy. $10 million a year is basically what you want an outside linebacker pass rusher. It's going to cost you $10 million a year.
And I think I was prepared to pay anywhere from 8 to 10 for him. I was like, okay, 8.5, 10.
If the Dolphins offered him a 3-year, $30 million deal with $18 million signing bonus or $18 million guaranteed, I would have been jumping for joy yesterday thinking, all right, we got our guy. Well, at least we could start the season with somebody right off the top that we know could rush the quarterback because the other two guys are hurt. We don't know what to expect from them. It would have been fine. You lose him? Now what? You know, like at that point yesterday, now what? Because then all of a sudden you got to think, all of us who were doing this daily and thinking about this and thinking about free agency in the draft, my first thought was, well, now I know what the number 21 pick is going to be. It has to be a pass rusher. Like, it has to be. Even though you have two guys that you're paying a lot of money to, or Phillips is going to get paid and Chubb's already getting paid, how do you go into a season with a couple just of whatevers rushing the quarterback? You want to start the season that bad? This team can't start the season 1-2, 2-3, 3-5. You can't. They do that. We're going to talk about heads being rolled by the midseason point where people are going to be calling for Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel's head. It sucks. The injuries last year at the end of the season. I just wonder if Chubb or Phillips doesn't get hurt, just one of the two, and you beat Tennessee, what now looks like? in a different multi-universe Marvel
and a different multiverse.
Right. Like, what are we talking about today if Bradley Chubb doesn't get hurt and they beat Tennessee in that game and go forward?
It's a lot harder for those guys to make the decisions to leave.
Right.
Maybe not a lot harder, but a little bit harder to make that decision, right?
Right. I also think that at that point, you're figuring it all out, knowing that you got 1 year left in this window to win a Super Bowl. I heard it yesterday, and it hurt me to the core when I was picking up my son or taking him to the park yesterday afternoon. I'm listening to my own station, 560 WQAM, and Mark Hochman throws out the question, has the window shut? Or is it so close to being shut, it's scary? Because last year, all healthy, beginning of the season, Jalen Ramsey on the roster on paper, this was the best roster I've seen in two decades for this team. Maybe more than that.
They didn't
even get a playoff win.
There's
with that roster, they didn't even win a playoff game.
There's a good portion of the beat reporters that cover the team on a day-in, day-out basis that were putting out articles yesterday. They're like, oh, we saw this coming. This is something we saw coming. You know, it was a chance to happen because of the way the salary cap was and the Dolphins were handcuffed and they didn't. I have to tell you, I knew that there was going to be some losses this year, and I understood that. But number one, when the day started, you still didn't have everybody that you needed to restructured. You were still way in the red by like $20 million. And it just didn't make sense. It was like, how are the Dolphins going to go? Now, by the end of the day, they had restructured people that got us close to the green. I don't think we were quite there, but we were close to it. And I still think there might be a couple more restructures done potentially. But I mean, I was hurt yesterday. You know, when Robert Hunt was a surprise with the numbers he got.
Right.
Not necessarily leaving.
No, we thought he might leave. Right. We've talked about that before. We've talked about Robert Hunt.
But when Ingle left, it was like a stab in the heart. Now, you lose this. You lose your heart. You lose your kidneys, as they say in Moneyball, right? And, you know, what do you do from there? And so over the last few hours, or the last 24 hours, the Dolphins did make some moves, right? We'll start with yesterday, and we'll get into today's moves, because they made a move today, too. Yep. Linebackers, Anthony Walker, former Cleveland Brown, Jordan Brooks, former Seattle Seahawk. We'll start on that side of the field. I mean, neither one of them are Jerome Baker. Neither one of them are Andrew Van Ginkle. They both have a little bit of injury history, which is typical Chris Greer guy, right? I saw somebody say, I had made the thing, I think it was about Jordan Brooks, and I'm like, didn't Jordan Brooks tear his ACL? I don't know if he missed a lot of time, but I want to say he tore his ACL last year at the end of 2022.
Right,
yep. And it was like, I don't know if these are guys that are upgrades from what they're not upgrades from what we just lost, but they are upgrades from the standpoint of deeper on the roster, depending on what you end up doing. And today's move, Dolphins going after Shaq Barrett on a 1 year deal. Now you have Anthony Walker, Jordan Brooks, and Shaq Barrett. That's not necessarily bad linebacking and pass rushing, you know?
No, it helps. It certainly helps. You need it. I mean, you need it desperately. Desperate times sometimes call for desperate measures. They didn't, you know, reach on any of these three guys. I think Shaq Barrett today was a good signing because you have a little insurance policy in the beginning of the season now. And now if you go out and draft a guy or bring another guy in towards the end of free agency, see, for the Dolphins, it's also interesting because it's like today and yesterday and tomorrow, the next couple of days are really free agency starting for the whole league. The major free agency pickup, I think, for the Dolphins is going to happen after June 1st. Somehow someone's going to get cut. They're going to bring someone in here, and they're going to have a little bit more leeway after the Xavier Howard cut and all that, maybe a little bit more on the cap and everything. I thought those signings were fine. I wasn't upset with either one of them. They didn't overpay for any of these three guys, which was fine. I was good with that. You do need depth in that linebacker room because you don't want – if one guy goes down, you have really nothing behind them at that point. So make a couple young guys, put a little pressure on them during training camp. Cameron Good, guys like that, put some pressure on them to if they really want to step up to have to beat out a vet or have to come close to beating out a veteran that's getting paid a good amount of money. So those signings were all meh, okay to me, nothing too crazy. I wasn't upset. I wasn't really happy. I was somewhere in the middle, and the depth is fine there. I was actually more excited today about Shaq Barrett, I think, because you got a natural pass rusher there.
Which you are not going to have because Chubb and Phillips are out for 85% of the year, maybe all year.
Who knows when they're coming back? That's the crazy part. We're not talking about someone who's close to coming back from injury right now that, you know, needs, you know, two more months to get ready, but might miss the OTAs after the draft, but by the summer he'll be fine.
Phillips and Chubb. $9 million deal with incentives. It's a 1-year deal.
Perfectly fine.
Drew Rosenhaus is, you know, represents Shaq Barrett. And I think these 1-year deals are gonna be where the Dolphins find some value with some quality players who are like, they're not getting the numbers that they want. So they're like, screw it. I'll go do a 1-year deal, bet on myself, and try to get a bigger contract the following year. And I think Miami could be a big destination for guys that are looking for 1 or 2 year deals because
that's going to be it. Right. There's going to be veterans all over this team. There's not going to be a lot of young guys on this team. Outside of people they draft, obviously. But during free agency now and free agency June 1st, we're going to be talking about veteran guys, 28 and up. We're not going to be talking about 24-year-olds coming to this team or 26-year-olds. Although what they just did get with Jordan Brooks, he's a young guy, but like you said, coming off an injury or had a major injury.
He's had an injury already. Yeah, you know? And here's another thing too, right? So you have Hunt gone, right? And Connor Williams has been cut. He's been let go. So the Dolphins yesterday go out and get center/guard, but he started center for the last couple of years with the Tennessee Titans and Aaron Brewer. Aaron Brewer, if I'm correct, was ranked 11th best center according to PFF, although we had the number one ranked center according to PFF and Connor Williams.
Who had problems snapping the ball.
I was about to say, we all know how I feel, and I know how you feel about his snapping.
So number one is fine, and that's great. PFF, we appreciate all the work you put into it for us. We do appreciate that. I saw snaps that were fumbled and bumbled this year, you know, towards the beginning of the season on, that I see at, you know, my nephew's, you know, flag football game, you know, at the park down the street. I shouldn't see that from a professional at that point. So number one is great, but I don't know what the difference is between number one and number 11.
I will say Tennessee Titans fans were very pessimistic about him yesterday online. They were like, well, he doesn't protect your quarterback. You know, I want to say he allowed six or 11, and I know that's a big difference, but it was one of those two numbers. I don't know if it was 6 sacks and 11 rushes or 11 sacks and I forget which one it was and how many sacks he allowed. But
well, then you better bring in another big guard to help on the interior with him if that is the case.
But maybe that's, you know, that's draft, Zach. Maybe
right, so draft, get me a guard or get me a guy June 1st that could fill in the interior. I don't know if it's Robert Jones who's already on this team. I don't know if it's Eichenberg. I have no idea if one of these guys is going to be the guy there or not. They're probably penciled in right now at this point. But go get me another guy. If Aaron Brewer is the guy at center and Connor Williams, I think the door is now shut on him unless he wants a massive discount to come back and then you can move.
I don't think the door is shut on him. I'll be perfectly honest. I don't, because he's coming off an ACL injury.
Right.
And he could be one of those guys where nobody's willing to give him a great long-term deal.
That's it. Oh, no. That's why.
And it could be a 1-year deal with him.
Oh, it's going to be. And the door, let me rephrase that. The door is basically shut but not locked.
Yeah,
On Connor Williams, because I think that if the money is right,
if they got Aaron Brewer and put him at guard and then take Connor and put him at center,
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. Great.
No. I mean, that's why if Connor does want to come back on the cheap and he's okay, you know, maybe when they start the season or close to it, whatever the case is, I'm perfectly fine bringing him back, but you can't pay him and Aaron Brewer $8 million plus a year each. Or whatever the case is going to be. You can't do that. Otherwise, why didn't you just bring back Bob Hunt?
Because you get two quality offensive linemen for the price of one.
Right. But you already know what you got in Robert Hunt. You got one of the top right guards or guards in the league. and got paid for it.
I don't think he's worth $20 million a year. But
oh, no, I don't think so either. I wouldn't pay him $20 million. I wouldn't go above that $12 to $14 million mark, even if I had the money to do it. I would go to 14 if I knew there was 10 other teams willing to get him and you had nothing in the background. I would have done that and been happy with that because Robert Hunt's a guy you know, and you know what you got in Robert Hunt. He has gotten better every single year outside of getting hurt. Robert Hunt came into this league, what, from Louisiana Lafayette, mm-hmm. small school, and like day one started, you know, got put right into the mix. They thought he'd be their future right tackle. He ended up being the future right guard at that point. But when you have a guy like that, you pay him unless someone is willing to majorly overpay him, and they did. But you still have to solidify that offensive line. Don't tell me Chris Greer in a press conference after the draft or after June 1st, you guys are more worried than I am. Because guess what?
I'm worried now than I was last year.
Right.
100%.
And you know who else is with us, but he won't say it out loud? Tua. Worried Tua's also worried. About that offensive yep. line.
You're not lying. You're yeah. not lying. So, look, I mean, what we lost yesterday and what we've gained back, I don't think it adds up. I don't think it's equal to yet.
Right.
I like the Shaq. I like the linebacking and the edge rusher. I have to admit, that doesn't
intrigue me. Yeah.
I would still like to see if we go after somebody like Patrick Queen. I don't think we're going to, but I would. But if they do, then losing Ginkle, I'm like, okay, I'm good. Like 100% good.
Are you willing to pay Patrick Queen?
That's
$12 million, $15 million a year.
I think
that's what might happen.
I'll be the next real. Day I think Patrick Queen's one of the best linebackers in all.
Oh, so do I. But look what you just did in the last 24 hours, paying two other linebackers. So I'm just assuming at that point you kind of knew you're not going to get.
Yeah, Patrick Queen. Look, I think you're out of it just because of the Shaq Barrett signing today.
Yeah, that too. And then obviously today with Shaq Barrett, you signed three guys. So I'm just thinking they got the inclination of we have no shot in the Patrick Queen sweepstakes. So let's just go figure everything else out. Patrick Queen would have been, I think Anthony Weaver would have been very happy if you brought Patrick Queen in because he would have had his leader on defense going forward and had some other guys there. But
what do you do with defensive tackle though now? Because now Christian's not there. Now, having said that, last week they went and signed two guys that were like end of the 53 man roster. I think one was Mac. His last name was Mac, and there was another one. And they're both size-wise bigger than Christian Wilkins. Right. But I don't think they're going to replace Christian. You know?
No, I mean, not with talent-wise. I mean, you're going to replace him with bodies, and that's fine. You're going to need a bunch of bodies there. And they're going to need some depth at the defensive tackle. I mean, obviously, you have Zach Sealer sitting there, and that's fine. You have your starter in the middle if that's the case. But you need another monster in the middle. I don't care if you play a 3-4 or a 4-3 defense or you switch it up, whatever Anthony Weaver is going to end up doing. Like, you need another kind of Raekwon Davis type, and you just got to make sure you have that. But it can't be where the Raekwon Davis that we kind of all learned, you know, loved over the last couple of years. He has some decent games, some bad games, somewhere he's not even really out there and doing much. You don't hear a lot from guys like that with outside of Wilkins, who had 9 sacks in the middle, but you don't hear a lot. But you need some bodies, and you need some – I would get some young bodies and put them in there and see what happens. I just don't think this defense is going to be close to what we saw last year when it comes to percentages and where they are ranking-wise. Well, at least
that middle part of the year when they were, like, really great.
Right.
Barry Jackson just tweeted. He said, veteran edge rusher Shaq Barrett had 4.5 sacks for Tampa last year in 16 starts. He's had 59 sacks in his career. He was rated number 86 or 83 of the top 100 players last year in the NFL, according to the players. He's a solid number 3 edge rusher, but early in the season, he's obviously going to start and fill in for Chubb and Phillips. And, you know, there are people that are also saying that he's going to Kyle Krabs from Grinding the Tape on Twitter. On Locked On Dolphins says Barrett has a fair chance to be Melvin Ingram 2022 caliber signing.
Okay. Wasn't a bad signing for Miami at the time, Melvin Ingram. No, but you think about what was around Melvin Ingram at the time too. There was a big difference in what that defensive line looked like when Melvin Ingram came in here, and Melvin Ingram didn't have to do much for you at that point. So listen, everything will be great on the defensive line when we get the health status of our two top guys. But when is that going to end up happening?
People are saying that Shaq Barrett's better than Andrew. I mean, there's people on Twitter that are saying he's better than Van Ginkle. Do you agree with that?
I'd have to see it on. I'd have to see what it looks like when Shaq lines up here, a year older than everyone else, just saw him and see what happens. He is not a spring chicken. He's a guy who's got some gas left in the tank, and I'm fine with that. Andrew Van Ginkle, I believe, in the last year and a half, 2 years, is really settling into his prime. And I think that Brian Flores knows what to do with Andrew Van Ginkle. I would not be surprised if Andrew Van Ginkle next year has 10 sacks and gets into the double digits.
Well,
so Shaq Barrett,
Brian Flores defense, I don't think you're necessarily wrong, Zach.
I think he's going to be right there. And then all of a sudden you're going to look back at his contract and say, this guy was a steal.
This guy got underpaid. What are we talking about?
This guy was a steal. We're very happy to have him here. And Brian Flores knows exactly what to do with him. If Melvin Ingram gets that 8-10 sack thing, I mean, not Melvin Ingram, got him, Shaq Barrett. Now you got Melvin Ingram on my mind. If Shaq Barrett gets to that, fan-bleeping-tastic. I would love that. He's just going to be almost by himself on an island the first couple of weeks of the season.
So somebody said the Dolphins signed Shaq Barrett, Jonnu Smith, Jordan Brooks, and Aaron Brewer for the price of Christian Wilkins.
Okay. Because that's the only money they had. That's the difference. Like, that's the only money they had.
That was great. That's all they had to work with. What are we talking about?
If you're telling me I could go to the grocery store with $50 and I really want a steak for dinner and the steak at the grocery store is $45 and I get the steak and I also buy a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke to go with it to bring home, or I could have 3 double cheeseburgers on my grill, french fries, some vegetables, maybe a 6-pack of beer instead of the Diet Coke. Yeah, it looks a lot different when I come home. And I tell you, we're not just having a steak and water tonight. We're having hamburgers. We're having hot dogs. We're having some french fries. I got some corn on the cob, and we got a 12-pack of beer. Yeah, you're going to be like, hey, man, well done. You took that $50 and really went a long way with it. And that's it. That's fine. The steak would be better. It would taste better. It would look better. It would look nice on a plate with a glass of water or a beer. The burgers are fine. The fries are good. It'll all work. But when you just have $50 to spend, what do you expect?
I'm a fat guy. You're making food references here that are making me.
And we're right around that time where my stomach starts grumbling. I know it's bad. Bad for both of us right now.
Dolphins go after L'Jarius Sneed, you think?
Yeah, I think they're going to, I think that Chris Greer's thinking about it. I can imagine he's trying to figure it out.
They got to make a trade. And I feel like that's the trade they could make.
But it better not be for number 21. If they lose 21, I think I'm going to be a little bit upset. Not that I think that anyone at 21 is going to come in and be better than Sneed. Sneed comes in here and gives you that number 2 option at cornerback right away. You have solidified that with Holland and whoever, Deshaun Elliott, if that's the case, as your safeties and your cornerbacks. Nick Needham, perfect. I love it. That could be great. That's fine. I need some cheap talent. I need a first-round pick that's going to come in here and play for $7 million a year for 4 or 5 years. I need a second-round pick that's going to do that. I need that to work for a couple of years. Otherwise, you can't have all this great talent because you can't pay everybody. I don't want to trade for Sneed, and then a year later, we're talking about putting Jalen Ramsey on the trading block because we have to do it, because we have to get rid of a guy. We have to get rid of this guy. Or damn it to all my, fantasy football, that Tyreek Hill is going to be on the block in a year and a half because you have to worry about his money. Like, let's draft the whole point of this rebuild, re-everything 6 years ago was drafting a bunch of guys, getting them on the cheap, and having a window to win the Super Bowl before you have to pay Tua, before you have to pay Waddle and Phillips and all these guys. Well, guess what? Like, I see when my dog's in the back seat and his head's out the window and we're about to stop and we're about to get to the house, I tell the dog to get in the car so I don't have to close your head in the window. That window is about this much more open, I think, for the Dolphins. So I don't know if it's this year or it's going to end up happening or not, because if it doesn't.
So you're saying the book is still out. Let's see how he finishes this.
The book is out, but we are almost at the end of the index of the book. Like, we are close to the index of the book. And that is scary for me, because I looked at the fact that 6 years ago, we had a ton of money and a ton of draft picks. And now we're 6 years later and we still haven't won a damn playoff game yet. So I don't care who the people on this team are, who wears that jersey. It's not good enough. And there's one person to blame for, and it's not the head coach and it's not the players. The general manager is the one that went shopping. He's the one that went to the grocery store. Everything looked like it was cooked the right way. It just didn't taste very good.
Last question I have for you. What do you think about the other players in the locker room and how they're feeling right now about all these players leaving? And, you know, we've seen how some of these people on social media are, dealing with some of this. You know, some of them are, look, a lot of them said, hey, I'm glad you got paid. I think they get the business of it. But from a standpoint of some of these guys are looking around the locker room saying, whoa, this is not the Dolphins team that I love being a part of the last couple of years.
If I'm on the defensive side of the ball right now, I'm waiting for them to announce a Jalen Phillips or a Javon Holland extension. I'm waiting for it every day now to see what, especially if you're a young guy in this team.
Jalen Phillips or Jalen Ramsey 43 minutes ago said, I appreciate all the love, Fins fans, but a contract restructure doesn't mean a pain cut. We getting all that. I love y'all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jalen Ramsey, whatever the restructure was, whatever the offset restructure money, that just went in his pocket.
Yeah.
Like that. That's why we go back to where we first are. Maybe our first conversation me and you had when I'm stressing to people out there, there are 32 owners in the NFL. Ours might not be the smartest football guy. He might not be. He's not. Stephen Ross, not the smartest football guy owner in the league. That, and I'm not even taking a shot at him. It's just the truth.
You're speaking facts, my guy.
But let me explain to you what he is. He's a top five owner when it comes to trying to make the team better because he will write checks. How do we get under the cap? How do we get more players in here to make us better? Well, Mr. Ross, we need to restructure Armstead's contract, Ramsey's contract. We need to talk to Chubb about his contract. We need to do this about this contract. The only problem is going to be I'm going to probably need from you $85 million today. Is that all right? Can we write checks like that today? Yes. Perfect.
Michael Vila, Big Mike here, says that behind closed doors, there probably have been discussions of this is probably going to be a soft reset year.
And yeah, it is. It is.
Would your owner spend $85 million then if he knows they're not going to be a Super Bowl contender?
Because if you don't spend the $85 million, you got to cut Ramsey. You got to trade him. Same or Tyreek or one of your stars that are making tons of money. If that's the problem, if you want to get under this cap, if you want to keep most of our guys here that to make us, because if we cut one of those guys, we're not out of the Super Bowl contention. We're probably out of the playoff contention because there's so many good teams in the AFC right now. Nobody thought Houston would make to turn into what they did that quickly. Nobody thought that. I don't care. Not the Houston owner, not an NFL analyst, an NFL network or ESPN. No. There's no way you could have predicted that.
That's true.
You also have Kansas City. You also have Cincinnati. Think about the teams that didn't make the playoffs last year in the AFC. Just think about that for a second. The teams that did not make the playoffs.
There were good teams. There were some good teams.
Good teams that just had some bad, bad things happen, either to their quarterback or something happened inside that locker room to another two or three players. Because you can't tell me at this point that there's not one or two teams that didn't make the playoffs that are probably a lot better right now on paper than the Dolphins are on paper. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect from this team next year. I'm just upset because I think the window for the Super Bowl contending team that Stephen Ross wanted to put together and Chris Greer basically promised us is gone. It's not because Robert Hunt left by himself. I don't want anyone to comment that, oh, we lost Robert Hunt, big deal, or we lost Christian Wilkins, big deal. You start to lose three or four or five guys that were all players on your team, and you have a couple guys injured that are not going to be back for the beginning of the season, if not by midseason or late in the season.
Where's your hopium at, Zach?
Oh, my hopium is...
Where's your hopium? Do I need to supply you with a couple of bags of hopium? Get your picks on?
I think it's possible at this point that my hopium levels are very low, and I'm going to need some help because I just, outside of all this, we got a quarterback about to sign an extension for $50-plus million dollars a year. There's some young players in the team that if you don't pay them soon enough, I think they're going to know that they're not going to get paid or not going to want to be here with this franchise. I think Chris Greer is setting a bad precedent for this team right now when it comes to the young players. Yeah. Christian Wilkins, Robert Hunt, Andrew Van Ginkle, all drafted guys, all guys that are homegrown, now all on different rosters right now. It's sad. I know it's the business of the game. This I know you can't Zach keep everybody.
Hearing right now from Chris Greer. Crickets.
Yep. In between one of those cricket sounds was Shaq Barrett's name. That's it. And the three guys yesterday, two linebackers in the center yesterday. I'm not saying the guy's not doing his job well.
What's going to happen, Zach?
I'm just scared.
Zach, here's what's going to happen. Believe in Chris Greer. And he has a plan. Okay. Here's your hopium. I'm giving you a shot of hopium. He's got a plan.
Okay.
It's going to work. I don't know what that plan is. I can't see it, but the man has to have one. Cause if he doesn't, it's the same old Dolphins doing the same old thing. And I just can't believe that the Dolphins for 25 years are doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. What type of fan would I be to expect something like that, Zach?
Let me explain something to you. If you would have told me 5 years ago that this team would have had Tyreek Hill, Jalen Ramsey, Bradley Chubb, and guys like that, I would have laughed at you. So Chris Greer has surprised me before. I hope he surprises me again. I hate to call for somebody's head, somebody's job, someone should be fired, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't want someone saying that about me. But I'm not in a high pressure job. Saying
that about you, you're
who knows?
Look, hey, you're the best thing at WQAM.
Thank you very much. That shot of opium went straight to the blood, and I appreciate that. But I just
not to Joe Roser, Channing Crowder.
No, all good guys, and I love them all. Guys
at all.
Love them all. Hawk, Solana, Danny, all the guys. Love them
all. The guys
at Tobin, Leroy, you can name them. I love them all. I'm a pessimistic Tobin. Dolphins fan.
He's all right. That guy's
all right. Listen, sitting next to Tobin at the UFC fight, that guy knows more UFC.
Oh, you guys sat together at the UFC
fight? Yeah, he was in the good seat. I was sitting behind him drinking a Starry, no sugar or whatever. And I was very happy about that.
UFC 299, best UFC card in years, top to bottom.
It's hard to debate that.
It was two bad fights the whole night. Every other fight was great. Every fight was great except for two of them. Right. Every fight was great.
I was very happy with all of them, and I was very happy with that night. It was a late night though, man. When you bring that kind of
4:30 in the morning, and the clocks changed 30 minutes after it ended, so technically it was 2:30 2 or 3:30 by the time you got home.
Folks, the last time I drove home on 95 South at 2:30 in the morning, I was a single man, and I was coming home probably from a strip club in South Beach, not from the arena at 2:30 in the morning, and kept looking at and then was waiting for the express lanes because they could have said $35 for the express lane at that point, and my ass was paying $35 to get
home. I don't know about you, but Tootsie's has very good food there. I go there for the meals, okay?
Unfortunately and fortunately, Tootsie's used to be about 100 yards away from our radio station. So believe me when I tell you, I know about the lunch specials.
I know about the lunch specials at Tootsie's.
I know them all.
Zach, I love you, brother, man. All right. So next week, I am going to be on vacation.
Okay. I like it.
I'm going to be in Mexico, okay, on a cruise.
Don't drink the water.
Don't drink.
Okay. No ice in your drinks. Just tell them,
no ice and drinks.
Okay. Just take a shot of tequila and you're fine.
All right. Just tequila will cure everything. Okay. Got it. I got it all written down. I'm good to go. Yeah, man. So I don't know if we're going to figure out a way to do this next week or not, but worst case scenario, I'll see you the week after next.
No, you won't, because that's the week my son's on spring break.
So this could be
the last time for the next couple of weeks you see this pretty face on your screen. And let me tell you, you couldn't have got me a better or worse time with free agency like this, because I feel like I'm going to fall over in my chair if I don't see anything happen with the Dolphins at some point today. And I'm not expecting it. But like I said, as much as maybe, I rip Chris Greer. Maybe
we'll record something this weekend or something, and then we can have something next week.
Listen, this camera is always on in my house. Find
something to talk about for 30 minutes or so. Easy. That's not hard. What do you got coming up, man?
Mark Ross joined me today, NFL Network on Krantz's Corner. That's probably up at this point, so you can get that. Will Manto from WPLG down here in Miami, who basically works for the Heat. He's for every – we talked about all the South Florida sports scene, and it was a very good conversation with him as well. So we have some things coming up, but literally I'm waiting day by day to to see what's going to end up happening with this Dolphins team right now. Heat and Panthers getting ready for the playoff run. Marlins have obviously started. We talk about that all the time. UFC stuff is kind of over for now down here in Miami.
For now, but
yeah.
305 in the 305.
Fingers crossed.
Dana, you know what to do, Dana.
It's got all the writing on the wall for 305. UFC 305 to be here in the 305 would be a lot of fun.
Would be great.
I don't think we want to wait till 786 to 786. That'd be a long time.
Guys, or 954. Go follow Zach Krantz at WQAM on YouTube. Zach is one of the best to do it out there. I love having him on every week. Getting to know you has definitely been one of the best parts of doing this show as of late. And you are one hell of a guy, and I can't wait to do more content with you, ladies and gentlemen. Zach Krantz,
thank you for having me.